Thank you, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I will begin with a song. normally, I ask and I hear the answer, and then today as to what song to play. And then today, Ann and Tom were talking about a song, and I thought, wow, okay, I guess I know what song I'm playing today, so let me play that for you. Here we go.
Thank you.
I'm getting closer to my home, Grand Funk Railroad. Yeah, it was funny to watch the video too. You know that energy of that of a live concert. But it's a sweet message, and I think as everything, it's apropos. I am getting closer to my home. I just want to take a moment and express my gratitude for everything, to everything, and yeah, just open up to truth, so that I can share it, so that I can be it, and for all of this, I'm grateful. Amen. It's funny because I used to journal in this lovely leather-bound book my sister Debbie gave me, and then at some point I got the prompt to begin doing this journaling on the computer. I type quicker than I can write longhand, and so moving to the computer has actually been very helpful. But occasionally I'll go back and write in the journal. So in the leather-bound journal, I seem to be moving back and forth from one to the other. All of this is to say that I went back. I felt to write in the longhand in the journal. I guess that was yesterday. But when I opened it up, the last entry was from June. June 9th, and it's perfect because it's like, oh, that looks like the entry right before where I am. So, although I've been journaling quite a bit between June 9th and today, it was a perfect message. So I'm gonna start by reading that message. And it said, didn't say I'm getting closer to my home. It says, this is the beginning of the end. You know that the suffering of the world is in your hands. You must make a decision to transcend your own willingness to continue to suffer. I'm still dealing with some of these issues, and we'll get into that. But I notice when I read this that this is a call. This is a call to step forth as a servant leader. And it's like, well, for me here, the call is clear, and it has been clear. But it's like, even if you're willing to continue to dabble, even if you're willing to continue to, do things that might not be wholesome, that might be counterproductive, that might not be helpful, even if you're willing to continue to suffer, the results of those choices. The call is to transcend that, if not for you, for the one mind, for the whole. So again, you must make a decision to transcend your own willingness to continue to suffer. I cannot teach you what you would not learn. Come to me with wholly empty hands. Means letting go of what you think you want. Your truth arises when that is what you desire with your whole heart. It is time to give your heart to me. You must question what anything is for. Does it lead you towards or away from your discovery of your truth? Lay down your fear by surrendering to me. I am there to catch you if you fall. Trust me. Give up half measures and self-deception. Give yourself to me. And I don't think the call could be any clearer. Although it's like, what? Could you speak up? I can't hear you. I'm teasing, of course, but what I want to say about that, I am willing. I'm willing to surrender my way of doing, my way of being. Even for those things that I go, well, you know, that's just me. That's just, you know, I'm just quirky like that. you know, that's just what people in my neck of the woods do, right? And it's like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, and frankly, it's minor stuff. It's like, quote unquote minor. You know, it's like, okay, so when you get together with friends, you know, you drink beer and you cuss and you just kind of like let it all hang out. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's right. Maybe that's what it looks like in my culture, but is it helpful? Is that the direction that I'm going in? Is it helpful to continue to cling to the bits and pieces of the personality? You know, well, those are just the roots of my raisin. Is that helpful? To transcending this character that I've built. So what I'd like to do is, so Regina and I were having this talk about, you know, lifestyle changes that would be good to consider. You know, I'm like, look, there's nothing wrong with me. I got these quirky little habits, you know, I'm drinking beer, smoke cigarette, you know what? No big deal, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like I'm a drunk. It's not like I'm a, you know, near too well. It's not like there's something beyond me that I can control. Although I can tell you, you all know I want to quit smoking. So that last part's probably not true. you know, it was just a call to look at this. And just to look, right? Not to, nobody said, oh, you got to start doing this and quit doing that. And you need to, you know, nobody said that. But I was offended by the suggestion that, you know, that there were some things that could be tweaked. And it's funny because what just came in my mind is that it wasn't that long ago that Regina received, and Regina, feel free to correct me if I'm good, received the prompt to begin dressing differently. I think, yeah, Kathy says unproductive. Yeah, those are definitely unproductive behaviors that we're talking about. But but Regina received the prompt to begin dressing differently, and instead of wearing like t-shirts and jeans all the time, to wear clothing, and again, Regina, correct me if I'm wrong, to wear clothing that was lighter and flowier and, maybe more feminine. I don't know what words if she got, if any, for that. But she didn't go, "No, I like my t-shirts. No, I like my jeans. This is how I dress, and this is who I am." And this is, there was no offense there. It was just, it was like, okay. Yeah. Regina says that's true, although she'd forgotten that a couple years ago. Yeah. But it wasn't, she didn't go, "This is just how people in Kansas, where I'm from, dress, and so why should I have to change it? Why are you asking me to, it doesn't matter why, There was none of that. She was just like, okay. And this is what was being asked of me, right? What is being asked of me? But again, initially I was offended. What's wrong with the way I am? I got a pretty good personality built here. There's nothing wrong with this. This is not causing me a problem or anybody else a problem. What's the deal? Regina and I discussed a little bit, and I emailed back and forth about it a little bit. And so this journal entry that I'm getting ready to read you was in response to that. I have excerpted a little portion of the comments from Regina that I journaled on. So, pardon me. So, here it is. Let me say this too, and I said here it is, but here it is not yet. Let me say this too. Regina told me in her email about how she was guided to leave her job. She was guided to leave the relationship with Ron, to be in relationship l with Laurent. She was guided to start a church, and I'm like, well, I've had guidance. I've had real specific guidance. I follow it. I'm just not feeling the real specific guidance right here. I mean, this is what I'm doing when I read it, right? I left my job. I sold my red convertible. I mean, all these things, right? And it's like, I wonder who that could be talking. It was defensive. It was defensive. Let me read this entry now. Comment from Regina. Regina said, "I surrendered my life that day on the Disney cruise. I think you want to surrender yours, but have you really faced that yet and fully made that decision? Knowing that it does mean letting go of who you've been and letting go of living your life for you, and instead doing what is best for the whole, including choosing a way of being that is best for the whole. Do you want to do this?" And I'll just read you what I wrote here. I said, "The knee-jerk, mind-fed reaction to this is to be offended. Of course I want to be surrendered. Who do you think you're talking to? Haven't I just demonstrated my commitment over and over again? I gave up my career. I gave up my family. I surrendered everything. And yet," and there's the "and yet." Yeah, right? After I like blustered through that, again, that knee jerk, that, "Wait a minute, I did that." "And yet," because I knew that there's more. I knew that that defense was merely an ego defense. "And yet, Father, what would you say to me about my decision to surrender to the whole?" And the answer, Your heart knows your true desire. Your heart is not being questioned. You need merely get out of your own way. You believe that independence and, quote, doing things my own way have value. And now we're going to look at why. Why I think that's valuable. This character trait has allowed you to sidestep the I am bad belief without the need to test it by comparison to others. Just because others do things a certain way, you are not compelled to, quote, measure up, because your differentness allows you the freedom not to compete, quote unquote, compete. I do not encourage competition. I encourage you to look at your strategy of winning by refusing to play the game. It is time to see through this cover of the I am bad belief. It is time for you to sit squarely with the belief that this thought about you is true. Your strategy is avoidance. Avoidance does not lead to healing. Avoidance and denial ensures that the belief cannot be healed. So it's, you know, it's like, oh, look at me. I'm just, you know, it's just quirky. I don't, you know, yeah, I don't look like a, I don't look much like a minister, do I? But that's all right, because, you know, that's just my personality. I'm just kind of like, you know, hip and, you know, different, and I don't have to play by the rules, and, right? And that's some of that came back in my journaling today. Using this quirky personality as a means of just saying, "Hey, I am who I am. Take me or leave me." All of that as a means of covering up the true belief. You know, true. I mean, what I truly believe. I don't mean that it's true. I mean, if I look deeply, I see that I really do believe that I am bad. And that if I don't try to measure up, if I don't try to gosh, I don't know if I can put it in words. Maybe I already have. But if I don't try, I can't fail. Which I'm convinced I would do if, you know, so if you follow all direction and you take the same steps that others who have if I don't try, I can't fail. If you take the same steps that others have taken. And, you know, you're not going to be able to do this, right? That's the I am bad thought. Jacqueline, who are you kidding? Regina wants you to follow in her footsteps. Ha, ha, ha. Boy, have you got her fooled, right? If I don't try, I can't fail. Because I believe that I will fail. Regina says, "You don't have me fooled. I see you." Yeah, Regina sees my heart. And as inner wisdom says, your heart knows your true desire. Your heart is not being questioned. You need to get out of your own way. So the way that I get in my way is to continue to cling to these things that seem to give this person definition. Because really, they're just, when I say this thing, and in my mind, I get this this vision of, these fingernail marks along the whatever, along the walls, like I'm trying to hang on to the door jamb, right? And I'm doing that so that I don't have to test the theory. I'm not good enough. So I said, well, how do I sit with the belief I'm bad? I have no idea how to begin to confront it. I realize this is due to years of sidestepping in an attempt to avoid this exact confrontation. What would you have me do? And the response was, Regina's tip is a great place to start. That was the tip for the third. Regina's tip is a great place to start. Look again at the tip contemplatively. Reprinted the here. This is when I wasn't writing longhand. This is when I was on the computer. But the tip from Regina, day 223 for NTI 2 Thessalonians 2. And let's see how much of that we read. It says, today we are taught exactly how to heal the I am bad belief. I don't know how to do this. It's so funny. I mean, all this stuff is just so right on time. But at any rate, today we are taught exactly how to heal the I am bad belief. One, ask to see it, which I've done. Two, look at it while being aware that it is a belief, not a fact. And three, rest, accept, and trust. You practice these steps repeatedly until every shred of the I am bad belief has been healed. I will. I don't think I'm. I don't think I'll read the rest of the that tip. It's funny. I'm torn. I will say that it talks at the end of the tip about be consistent and repetitive in this. That which is. Isn't true is coming into your mind now to be seen. This is a good thing, a great thing. Look right at it in full confidence of who you are, full trust in knowing. Don't trust your eyes or your thinking mind. Trust only your heart, which knows. With knowing, look at your beliefs, say, not true, only belief. It is important to practice the previous guidance, Regina tells us, with clarity and not with fear. Your underlying motive for the practice is essential to its effect. Truth realization is a different motive than the desire to avoid or escape something unpleasant. And then inner wisdom added this for me. In addition, begin to recognize the source of your temptation to do things your own way. Recognize that the pride you feel there is merely a cover over the I am bad belief. This cover is designed to encourage you to keep the habits, thought patterns, and feelings that allow the belief to persist. When you feel pride, look for the belief that pride is holding in place. "Oh, I do it this way," is a red flag for "I refuse to play by the rules." This is a fear thought. This is not the truth of who you are. Yes, all of us have personalities that extend beyond the stories of the ego. See, however, where you are clinging to the personality out of fear. What would happen if you played by the rules? If you are not exempt, what does that mean? Playing by the rules whenever possible will give you an opportunity to expose where the opposite strategy has been used to support the I am bad belief. Funny again, it's funny to draw on Regina's experience, but I do, it's been a lot of years listening to Regina, and so I fortunately am able to draw on her experience as well as my own. And when I was reading this, what came up to me was from Regina's experience was hearing her tell about when she didn't want to go to McDonald's because she had these beliefs about corporations, and I frankly don't remember what it was, but there was a belief that needed to be undone. And so her instruction was, and of course Jasmine was a kitten, and it was go to McDonald's as often as Jasmine wants to go, which was like every other day. Cheryl says she had, oh, first of all, Regina says their food lucky and bad for me. And Cheryl says I had that belief about Walmart. Yeah. But it's like, in the movie Revolver, it's like go where you're afraid to go, right? If you want to learn, if you want to grow, if you want to transcend, go where you're afraid to go. Go where ego would tell you not to go, and that's what I'm being told here. Playing by the rules whenever possible will give you an opportunity to expose where the opposite strategy has been used to support the I am bad belief. So, go where you're afraid to go. Play by the rules, right? Connie and I were reading from NTI, I don't know if it was First or Second Timothy last night, but it was talking about well, wait a minute, let me get it. Oops. Yeah, fear is the opposite of salvation. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, NTI, page 385. Fear is the opposite of salvation. To realize this, you must be willing to experience that which you fear and let it go. By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish. It's Mamas and the Papas. Kathy says, isn't there a song, go where you want to go, do what you want to do with whoever you want to do it with. The point here is the reason that you step through the fear, the reason that you face toward and embrace what you've been avoiding. The reason that I'm being counseled to do these things is so that I can see the belief that leads me to fear these things is not true. The fear that I truly am bad is not true. And the way that I will discover that is by going where I fear to go, by doing what I'm reluctant to do. That's how the fear is undone. That's how the belief is undone. And so yesterday, or maybe actually yesterday, I took notes on the on Antioch, from wherever we are in oh, it was the it's the one Regina said, read it again and again and again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe. On the I am bad thought, right? So I took notes on that, and then I journaled on that this morning. So I'll read you what I wrote. The only cause, and I underlined only, the only cause of guilt and unworthiness is belief in the mind. The busy mind, and I'm skipping around, y'all, the busy mind is the cause of my guilt, unworthiness, inadequacy. The busy mind. Remember that you are the vessel through which God's love pours into the world. And I just want to say on this that, again, everything always comes together perfectly, for my healing. I see what I need to see. Some time ago, got an Audible book, Adyashanti. Gosh, what is the name of that? Do I have that in here with me? Healing the Core Wound of Unworthiness, I think is the name of the book. It's a great book. It's a short book. I'm just going to pull it up now and make sure I've got the right. Yeah, Healing the Core Wound of Unworthiness, The Gift of Redemptive Love by Adyashanti. But it's really cool because in there he's like, we all have this belief in unworthiness and, whatever, and we tell ourselves this story over and over and over again. And he's like, I want you for, and then he does an exercise somewhere in this book that I heard in the last couple days. I want you to do this instead. Just put all of the stories that you tell yourself about yourself aside. And imagine this is the true story instead. Imagine that what you're doing here is the reason that you came to this place was so that you could be used as a vessel to extend the love of God in the world. This, imagine, not like, oh, I'm trying to become a thing, or, if I work real hard, I will be that thing. No, no, no. Imagine that's actually why you're here. Is so that you can be the vessel of God's love in the world. That's what you're here for. And it's so it was really cool when I after having heard that I heard that Regina had written the very thing in NTI with Holy Spirit. So what a wow, what a fresh perspective, right? Not, I'm trying to overcome who I think I am so that maybe someday I can be like more loving and help people and stuff. No, 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 no. You've been confused about who you are. You are the vessel through which God's love pours into the world. That's who you are. That's what you're here for. And then when I say you, I'm saying I'm saying all of us, of course. But I mean, to me, that just that undoes everything that's not that truth. This is the truth. You are the vessel through which God loves, God's love pours into the world. Cheryl says she's been praying lately. I want to see the ego tricks, to be willing to actually see them for insight and intention of letting go of its hidden belief to bring false identity to an end. Amen. Amen, Cheryl. And then, yeah, that just turns the this and what Cheryl wrote as well, but this life's purpose, that I'm the vessel through which God's love pours into the world, turns my entire orientation on its head. And then this next no this is more note-taking from Thessalonians. As a thought arises, ask, have you come to me from the heart? You will feel the answer immediately. And then paraphrase, if not, don't resist, let it pass in peace. If yes, rest in trust, listen with a quiet mind. And then from the same day, the thought of awakening. When looking for the heart, put all thoughts aside. Feel for that which communicates when you move into a place of patient and willing listening. And you know, the funny part of that is the pertinent words there, the one that jumped out at me is this patient listening. Right, because what I and I heard talking about this earlier, you know, sitting there with a pen in your hand, maybe this day where nothing will come. So the patience here is itself a negation of the I am bad thought, right? Because for me, when that thought comes in, to when that thought comes in, it's because, you know, maybe Regina can hear, maybe Ann can hear, but I not Jacqueline. You know, surely I don't have that kind of connection with the universe, with the truth, with love. Surely I'm not that vessel. Surely that's not my life's purpose. I'd like for it to be. I'll pretend it. It is, you know, I'll try and convince those around me that that's what I'm doing, but you know, surely I can't measure up to that. Yeah, so I'm willing to listen, but the patience is like, ooh, well, that's stretching my I am bad belief, you know, stretching beyond it, right? It transcends it. The belief that, I do have that connection. I do have that wisdom within me. So I asked, despite all my intention to put thought aside and listen only to the voice of truth, I find I still give believing attention to thought. What would you have me see in me that I'm not seeing? Let me just also say that, yeah, I know I'm running short on time here, but let me just also say that, I probably said it last week, y'all probably sick of hearing it. you know, the house back there is not sold, it's going into foreclosure. You know, I'm talking to foreclosure attorneys, bankruptcy attorneys, and my mind has been quite preoccupied, you know, and I'll hear the attorney will tell me something, and then I'll go look up every legal article that was ever written on that subject. You know, and there are like two or three possibilities, and I will go look up every legal article that's been written on either possibility, and wake up in the middle of the night trying to work through this stuff. I feel that fluttery feeling in my chest, anxiety, I think. I don't know. I've been trying to just be with the fluttery feeling without needing to name it. But I can just see the thinking mind just churning, 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 right? And so that's part of what leads me to ask the question. I've given lip service to no longer relying on the thinking mind, and I really have that intention. I really want to do that, but now how do you do that again? That's really what this question is. So the answer is, you still believe in you as your own protector. You still believe that the thoughts you think are necessary to ensure your salvation from that which you cannot know. You pull your thoughts around you like a magic cloak meant to ward off the possibility of disaster that would surely result if you were not at the ready to combat it when it arises. In this manner, you hold yourself apart from others, apart from life, apart from the truth of who you really are. It does take practice squarely confront each advisory thought and ask it from whence it comes. You need merely set your sights on your true desire and engage earnestly in this practice. This thought that you use to avoid practice is the first to practice with. You believe that to try and fail is proof that the practice is unworthy. It's interesting. Yeah, because I haven't successfully rid myself of all thoughts in the past. Well, come on. How helpful is it? You believe that to try and fail is proof that the practice is unworthy. The truth is that the unworthiness that you are attempting to avoid is your own. Continue to participate in distraction so that you avoid looking deeply at that one thought. This is the door through which you must pass. This is the thought that keeps you looking. Nice rabbit, Kathy. And this is the thing. Let me just go on. It's be willing to know nothing. Regina and I have talked a little bit about, this obsessive thought. Where I think that I've got this legal mind that's gonna, help me avoid possible pitfalls down the line. So how in the world could I possibly turn away from the thinking mind? But it's not just that. It's not like I sit down for 10 minutes and think, and I don't know, make a list of what needs to be done and what I want to avoid. It's not like that at all. It's this obsessive churning, right? So there may need to be some thought taken about whatever. But that's not what's going on. This obsession is distraction, and this dist and I'm and I get in there and I roll up my sleeves and I start researching and spending all my time with that as distraction. I'm willingly participating in the avoidance of letting go of control, of surrender. I'm avoiding surrender because I think I'm still in charge of my salvation, right? I'll figure this out because I think that there's something that I need to know. And inner wisdom tells me, my invisibility cloak, yeah. Inner wisdom says, be willing to know nothing. Be willing to miss, quote, important facts. Be willing to miss important facts. Ask me where to place your focus. Ask me to provide any information or opportunity that is helpful to you. Do not fear that you will miss something. To fear that you will miss something if you fail to apply a thought situation is to continue to value the world over the truth. What are you about? The purpose is not to experience the world without bumps in the road. The purpose is not to experience the world without bumps in the road. That's what I think it is, right? If I get this right, I'll have a bumpless road. Your purpose is to awaken to the realization that the world does not hold your truth. There is nothing in the world that holds any truth or any meaning. You let go your belief that it does by turning it over to me. You turn it over to me by letting your thoughts be without investing your interest in them. Meg says, converting obsession over led me to a great surrender. It went deep. Yeah, thank you, Meg. pardon me. You turn it over to me by letting your thoughts be without investing your interest in them. And of course, my habit is to like have a thought and then run it down, it research a little detail. And it doesn't matter because, well, it doesn't matter anyway, but that's a different subject. I mean, you can feel with the ferocity with which I approach that process, you know, the obsessiveness. I really believe that that's where my safety lies. Really believe that it's true that if I miss something, I'm doomed. There is nothing in the world that holds any truth or any meaning. You let go your belief that it does by turning it over to me. You turn it over to me by letting your thoughts be without investing your interest in them. Therefore, I ask you to quit relying on your thought process to keep yourself safe. Quit relying on my thought process to keep myself safe. Your safety lies in the recognition that your thoughts are not you. Your safety lies in the recognition that your thoughts are not you, and that you do not need to continue to focus your attention there. So, you know, this takes us back, I think, to Regina's tip, you know, not true, only belief. It's not true that I miss something unless I'm vigilant, you know, unless I keep that mind or thinking mind going, right? It's not true that not missing something is where my safety lies. Very clearly, I am asked here to be willing to know nothing. You know, one of my favorite verses has always been the verse about the Bible verse has been the verse about the lilies of the field, you know. Not needing to do, and nor does doing anything, you know, that whole passage talks about, you think it was one of my favorite verses, I'd know it, but it talks about, who among you can, by taking thought, add one cubit to his height, right? Look at the lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin, yet they are clothed greater than the kings, right? Really bad paraphrase, but my salvation does not lie in me learning how to think about getting taller. My salvation does not lie in me thinking about how to become more beautiful. Yeah, it's my safety lies in my surrender. With that, I will let go of the mic. So it's that time. I love you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you and to be with you. And yeah, I'm grateful for you all. I love you, and I'll see you next time.